The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Side Plus is the greatest fan experience for anyone who wants to expand beyond just watching YouTube videos. Everything that happens from a creative standpoint for the Sidemen Entertainment brand, that is a team of 15 people. Your HR team is probably bigger than that. You'd be stupid to claim that it's not impressive. I see Josh's name on my phone. It's not a good vibe. And then JJ, come up on the screen. We're not live. We're about to walk out on the pitch. You won't believe it. I'm working with Fortnite. I'm starting a new life. I have an insane commitment to what I do. If you just literally put the hard work in, you might not succeed, but the chances increase drastically.
The Sidemen represent something so big in the culture. Many childhoods, sad nights, and that's what you see at the ground.
This is where you get to see them not putting their complete YouTube personalities on. They don't have to be happy all the time. They don't have to do the smile for the thumbnail.
For those who don't know, can you just give a very brief overview as to you and how you started working with the Sidemen?
Yeah, my name is Victor Bengtsson. The accent that will slip now and then during this podcast comes from Sweden. I've really tried hard for many years to try to clean it up, but you'll hear me say jogging or jumper or something where the J's fall into an abyss of linguistic problems, you know? But how I joined the Sidemen, my journey up there, I've been in digital solutions for the last 10 years now. And it's been on a journey that was never really planned to be. My real first thing was working in a small company that I held ownership in when I was about 23, 24. So that was me around the same time I was like getting into uni. That company was called Cowfunding, a pun on crowdfunding. And what you did was crowdfund animals. That company, I worked for that for 2 years with one collaborator there, a Dutchman called Gertjan Deleman, who was instrumental in me understanding, like, if you just literally put the hard work in, you might not succeed, but the chances increase drastically. That man, I don't know where he is today. Last time I heard, he was doing something absolutely amazing at IKEA. But yeah, absolutely G. He knew exactly what we were doing. Mm. That led to me working with a couple of friends who were at creative agencies, helped out on a couple of projects they were doing, opened my mind more towards the creative agency, that sort of vibe. And through connections, I ended up speaking to some people at Volvo. And Volvo were also into this digital solution. Everyone was kind of in this midst of, how do we use digital? Because we have cars and they're super physical. Or we have meat, which is super physical. Product is physical by default. That was when my brother came to me and told me, there's a video game that's come out and it's different to all other video games. And that was Fortnite. I was not necessarily that into gaming anymore. I've been a gamer throughout my life. We played a lot of video games, having fun growing up, friends, my brother, whoever it may be. But that game was really like, he told me and promised me this will be different. I think he at some point was like, I think Drake's playing it. I'm like, okay.
Oh, Drake.
Drake. So what I did after that Christmas, when he started talking about it, if I don't misremember here, I asked him how good he was. And he was like, I'm the second best in the world right now. I was like, that's crazy. But he was essentially competing against this one guy who then became massive called Ninja. That could have been a tough one for my J.
Yeah, you did that.
I think I survived that one. Then he basically convinced me. So I said, what if I just managed you in classic talent management ways? And that is my first step really into talent management, which becomes me taking care of my brother at the stage of like he's no one at this point. I'm at Volvo at the time. I'm finishing up my stuff at uni. And he keeps on killing people in this video game. And I started thinking I could like put a team together. So I had this little tool set up, which was just collecting the API from Instagram, an open just follower account, and you have like a social blade or whatever. And then on the other end was Fortnite Tracker. And then we just put like one question to this very simple tool that if someone has an increase in percentage in amount of kills and Instagram followers, I'll hit them up. So I used my brother's account. We started speaking to people. He was practicing with them, what we call scrimming in the gaming world. And they basically started playing together. We put together a four. I pitched it to Fnatic. I pitched it to FaZe Clan. I pitched it to all the big esports orgs. And Fnatic was the one that was most keen. And then I just said, listen, you're going to have to bring me across across the pond into England. So we joined Fnatic together at that point with three other players. One of them became now probably the biggest gamer in Italy. So his name is Giorgio Calandrelli, nicknamed Power.
And you found him through your tracker.
Literally, I remember seeing a picture of him the first time. I've said this in another interview where I was just like, he was just so good looking, man. I was just like, bro, we can put you on.
You're going to win either way.
No, if you're
Fortnite or not,
half a will be fine. I love that man. He called me today and he said, I need you here tomorrow. I'd fly in a heartbeat. And my career would not be anywhere where it is today without my brother opening that door and Power becoming who he became.
As a business, what does it mean to become someone in that world?
Fortnite was so different to the other video games, because if you're deep in the esports scene or like competitive gaming, there's a lot of talk about money and less so generated money.
Yeah.
So people funding things and hoping for the best, not necessarily straight revenue drivers that actually create substantial money for the company. So when I say becoming something, it meant that first summer there was a big first early competition in Fortnite. I think we played home maybe $30,000-$40,000 or something. And for my brother, small town Sweden, me, it was like, bro, you're rich. you made it. We made some waves there, and there was a real lack of Italian players at the time. So he kind of put that on himself to become that face outwards, which then led to him getting a lot of stream viewership on Twitch. Obviously opened the eyes of a lot of brands in Italy. They were like, wait, what was happening here?
Yeah. Yeah.
So fast forward a year and a half, when I speak about making it, he had a billboard across Rome or Milan, I can't recall which one now, which just had him literally standing in his own custom Adidas sneakers, the same way JJ now had one here. He had one in Italy.
In 2016, 17, that kind of
2018, 19, okay. I think. By the end of that year, we had a collaboration with Ben & Jerry's in Italy. And then Ben & Jerry's is like, that's a huge brand for someone who was killing Fortnite players like 10 months earlier. I worked with them and helped set up the talent department at Fnatic for about 3.5 years. We obviously had a lot of stuff going within the Fortnite division. The Fortnite World Cup 2019 is still one of the craziest events I've ever been to. And we ran that department and did some really good stuff that expanded. I took on more talent. And at one point, I was managing maybe 20, 25 talent, more like a traditional talent agency. There were some restructures in the company, which led to us building out a couple of digital platforms like the Fnatic Network. And kind of in the middle of all of that, I had been starting a move towards more like international expansion. So I'd been quite active in Japan because Apex Legends. I'd been quite active in India because of PUBG Mobile. There were a lot of different projects happening at the same time. And through that moment in PUBG Mobile, I met Aaron. And we were supposed to set
Who?
Up. Oh, Aaron
Who's that
O'Neill.
Guy?
Aaron O'Neill. He works with us today. And we met and had drinks, I think. They basically invited me over. We had one time we really met, maybe 2-3 meetings, but we hit it off kind of. And then, yeah, 6 months later, I'm sitting at the rooftop at Soho House and you're pitching like, we have an idea. Here's a blank page. What would you do if you were building a membership club?
Empty notebook.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? I have a couple of ideas. From that little meeting we had there, I think it's about 2 months later, I'm in a room with the side digital room, Zoom.
Still that time.
Yeah. With the boys, and I'm pitching my vision and idea for this. And they said yes.
Yeah.
And 72 days later, we launched Side Plus.
72 days. It's 2 years old, right? 2 days ago,
Side Plus
or something like that. So bang on the anniversary, into our third year. And Victor comes in with a literal notebook of like, I remember my notebook somewhere in my house with just like Side Plus. It's just an empty page. What would you do? 72 days later, it turns out to be what it is now. What is Side Plus and why is it so important to the fan base and to the Sidemen?
From that moment onwards, we were quite clear on, okay, we think it will work, but how do we speak to this group this is not us trying to build a Netflix, right? That was not the goal here. We're trying to create a fan service that's going to speak to a very key audience. And today, Side Plus is, I would say, the greatest fan experience for anyone who wants to expand beyond just watching YouTube videos for someone. This is where you get to see them not putting their complete YouTube personalities on. They don't have to be happy all the time. They don't have to do the smile for the thumbnail. It is the more intimate relationship of watching how a YouTube group actually produces the biggest productions in the space, right? So that's the BTS, for example. It's them being allowed to do some slightly more risky pieces, like we can curse, we can say things, don't worry about demonetization. So they can do a little bit more of a, yeah, I guess more of like sitting at a pre-party with your friends than having to be completely let's say, like, completely controlled and thinking about everything you say and do. You can have a little bit more freedom on there. And then obviously the key was to understand what the hardcore fan base would want. It is a chance to consume content that is not catered to the current meta of YouTube. It's more old school, it's longer form, and it's for the people who want to get closer.
What was it like the day it launched for you? I remember obviously very vividly.
For anyone who has been in launches, anyone who works in entertainment, anyone who works on anything that really has like key moments and it's like consolidated into this one moment, will know the pressure that comes with it. No matter how prepared you are and how solidified you've like literally put up the defenses around everything, you're still going to be pissing yourself with nervousness when you get there. That day, I remember as well, like, we don't really know each other at this point, right? You, Aaron, me, and Sam.
72 days.
72 days. We've actually known each other. I think my contract came in 2 weeks prior. I remember where I'm sitting. It is an hour prior. I've got everyone online. Oscar, who you will obviously work closely with now, you have seen the talent that's come out of that man. Yeah. Everything has been consolidated into this one single button, one click, that basically makes this entire thing go live. And then obviously we have the promotion gone out over the past week. We've explained everything. There's a lot of noise. Our entire marketing plan up until the launch has been about no marketing. I'll just drop random clips on TikTok and we hope they take off, right? Mm. Which they did. So when it goes live, I remember pressing it. I look for the button to go like site live. So it's like, I know that it's alive. And then I closed my eyes and I just sat in my living room and I'm like, please, 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 please. Then my girlfriend at the time walks in and she goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, I am literally praying. Can you please leave me alone? And then I'm looking at her and she's like, it will be fine. I'm like, I mentioned this, if you have been at the head of something and you are the end point of blame, if it goes bad, you cannot defend yourself fully from what those feelings feel like.
You're putting yourself in the hands of all these people and all you can do is just hope and pray that it works.
The back end of this does not have a go live test what the site will look like. They didn't have that infrastructure. It's on or off. Once it's live, there is also no way to take it off. You have to delete. So we can't go offline. We go delete.
Could you imagine you go live, there's like a massive area, you have to delete the whole thing. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow, guys.
Yeah.
Try again.
I press the refresh on the back end because there's like 15 seconds pass and I see it's like 7 subscribers. And I'm like, 7? I'm just looking at for my phone. Like, I can't wait to say like Josh or JJ come up on the screen. And I'm just like, you know, just 72 days. I've already f***ed you. it's not a good vibe. And then it was because the traffic was such a vast amount of people on the site, right? And there was such a fan reception. We had gone live. I remember we sat up that entire night until we could make one tweet from the official accounts that were very fresh at that point, just to say good morning to the Australians who would have come up now so they could see the ads and they could see like the promo. So they're like, hey guys, welcome to the club. And that is my last thing I do that day.
Did you sleep that night?
I slept that night incredibly well. It was one of the best sleeps I've had. But once the first new number came up on the screen, I lay down on my floor and I started like shaking and I put on Middle Child by J. Cole. And then I'm rapping this in my head, laying there like, you're him, bro. You're fucking him, bro.
72 days.
72 days, you're him. And then Oscar is going like, everyone seems to like it. Yes, bro, it looks sick. We've obviously come a long way since me, Oscar, sat in that room with Brad. I mean, literally the next day, because of the amount of customer support tickets that came in, we had to find a customer support team. So that, like, in 24 hours, we found a customer support team. Shout out Emmy, who for the first 6 months took on so many things. Easily overlooked and underappreciated. Yeah. But yeah, she had a lot to do there. And it, for basically 3 months, it was us. And then, obviously, I remember our group chat, it was like, boys, this worked. This worked very well. This was good. I think we can trust in each other. And I think that set the bar for us for at least as some form of unit.
But also, you know, you get through 72 days of a blitz of working with, you know, working together, you know, remotely. I think a lot of it at the time, it succeeds, it works.
Yeah.
The Sidemen are happy. The new community on this platform are very happy.
Yeah.
You're serving them great content. They're loving it. And actually, you know, you've got the sentiment you wanted, which is the easiest thing to mess up. And I think we probably take it for granted because the boys are so good at what they do, the team is so good behind the scenes at what they do, you're so fantastic at what you do, that everything we do lands well, right? Because there's a lot of thought and process that's gone into it. But as we very clearly know, if you don't get that right, you're going to get completely destroyed. And the reputational damage of doing one of these things and getting it wrong is tremendous.
Yeah,
and actually, Side Plus, you look at it on the day and you're like, wow, people love this. Like, what was that feeling like for you?
We had the biggest worry, right? And that is, I think, a lot of people have in our... Maybe it's wider than just us, but the idea of selling out. You're now asking for money for something.
Even value. Though,
value, and you're saying to them, I know you have seen this stuff before. You've seen someone put something out and ask you for money, and you have felt like, that's not really what I wanted for that money. But we had been very open from the get-go, right? There are 7 members. The price is $6.99. We're giving 99p to Harry. The rest of us get £1. And that was like the marketing plan for it. Over here, you have the Netflix at $7.99. You get a bunch of movies. The problem with Netflix was always like, if you buy Netflix, you're consuming 0.3% of the platform. For us, we wanted people to consume 100% of this platform at the time of launch. With Spotify, you get every song in the world for $9.99. A Twitch sub, however, is $4.99. You get nothing for that. You get to support your favorite creator, maybe. You get some smileys or emojis or whatever. So here's your opportunity to go somewhere in between. And we knew that we needed to make money to keep the team running. And we needed to, like, in all honesty, if we had no profit coming out of that, it doesn't fly.
What isn't it? You have no money to invest. You have no money to build which we'll get into, what it is today.
Yeah, of course. When I looked at how the fans received it, they were like, wait, there's quite a lot of episodes on here already. Good choice. I think that was a conversation that we had, four of us, that we need to have stuff on it already. And then the fact that the camera quality, the introductory...
The thumbnails. Sort of
like, the thumbnails, everything was just like slightly better, not necessarily cut or edited, but it was pricier. It was premium.
We spent so many hours trying to nail that value proposition to the point where it almost drove everyone insane. Like, because there was such a concern, naturally, about making sure that it was worth the money. I mean, English people are very funny around money anyway and pricing and all that sort of stuff. And we're naturally cynical. So we were, of course, naturally very cynical about, okay, this isn't worth it. How do we make it more worth it? How do we bake so much value into it that no one can ever complain about the price? And what we found, I remember, on launch was that when it launched, you had people in the comments going back and forth, like backing up the fact that it was good value. Have you looked on the platform? Have you seen how many shows there are? Have you seen what it looks like? Have you seen what this is becoming? It's not even just content. There's giveaways and there's other things that are in the pipeline. And you had that kind of that validation from random people who don't care. They will slate it if it's bad. And then when it launched, they were like, actually, this, you got this right.
Of course, we had to do a lot of like admin stuff that we don't talk about. It's not boring stuff. But the idea was that this is fine. Where we are now, fine. Now the pipeline, and the pipeline was rough. It was like, we want to be able to get to a certain point where we can launch an app version of this quite quickly after we've done the desktop version. Because the first thing that came out was like, I want to watch this when I'm in bed. I want to watch this when I'm on my train journey. I want to watch this when I'm on a bus, whatever it is, right? I want to take it with me. So like,
The percentage of mobile on YouTube, right? Yeah. You know that that's the consumption habit of this audience, right?
But it's also an investment to make, to build an app, right? So we needed to see the proof in the pudding. Like, when this goes live, will we have an audience that want to do it? But the only feeling I had on launch day was like, thank God. Like, I did not think this was going to play out the way it played out. In my head, you build a worst case scenario always. And then when it's done, you just slap around and go like, jing, back. Okay, I'm back in. Okay, next 90 days, we're going to do a Halloween special. We're going to launch an app. We're going to start building out programs that can like potentially get on there next year. And I remember like, us sitting that, we had a tiny, tiny room in East London. I was there every day. It was just like thinking about like, what do we do here? How do we make this better than it already is? It was incredibly
like inspirational. One desk.
Yeah.
And then the sidecast set behind, right?
Yeah. One desk, the sidecast set, and then two producers, John and James, who literally stood like huddled together behind the cameras.
And then now, right? So bring people up to speed. 2 years later, where is it?
We expanded team quickly, and because we saw that the fans wanted it, they liked it. We saw responses on like episodes that we didn't think we were going to get real responses on. The BTS was actually something people really wanted to see. They wanted to get closer to the boys. And once we had started pushing out Finer Fucked, which is obviously a show that launched later on, where we're at now 2 years later is that we're about to launch our first Side Plus Originals, which is like its separate entity within the Side Plus experience and product that has its own team connected to it, its own budget. It's going to be like a complete step up from everything else that's on that platform. You're getting like a full scale, like limited series about something that it's happened, yeah, well now 4 or 5 days ago, the biggest youth event in history. We've captured that, and we're going to tell these fans about this journey. Mm. And they're invited into like the close rooms. So we now have suddenly higher production value, but we're keeping that close to the fan experience. And alongside that, we're launching Side Plus Saturdays, which is essentially things that are not big enough to be a full-blown Side and Sunday. Can we take that and let the boys do it in the way they would if it was not YouTube meta? So it will be like a Side and Sunday that you get additional to your Side Plus subscription. So already now in the next 6 months, you'll suddenly have all the shows you already have, but you'll also see the limited series that will be coming in, and then the Side Plus
Saturday. A mini Sidemen Sunday, essentially.
Yeah. I had a council inspection at my apartment the other day, and the woman comes in, super professional, really nice. She just walks around, tests the fire alarms, look at the oven, I don't know. Yeah, and then she goes, what do you do for a living? And I'm like, oh, I work with the Sidemen. I watch them every Sunday. Are you joking? And I'm like, no. I work with them. Yeah, it's real. And she's like, wow. And I'm like, would you like a Sidemen football jersey? She's like, from the game this weekend. Yeah, sure. So I go in and I get the jersey that I have in this plastic. And I'm just here. And she's like, my boyfriend is going to flip out, man. And I'm like, she walks off. And I'm just like, this is real.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I go. Like, I have created nothing about this. It's all the boys. Mm. I still feel the pride of like, no, like we are part of this journey. Mm. And I say that every time I make a tweet or anything. It's like, I thank all the people that have worked with me at the company, but it's like, thank you for letting us go on this journey with you.
100%, man. And we fast forward from Side Plus, right? And for those who don't know, you came in the role of basically head of Side Plus. That was what you did. And then you got promoted.
Yeah.
Within our little ink to being the head of content. Mm-hmm. And then from there to then managing director of Arcade and then really still the head of content for the Sidemen. So what does that mean? What is your day to day? What's it like running content for the biggest YouTubers in Europe?
Hectic, man. And beautiful at the same time. My day to day is very much now about just solving problems for different people within the Sidemen entertainment structure and the Arcade media structure. And obviously we overlap constantly. So as a managing director of this now, it's essentially, here's an issue.
And the Arcade media structure being really the management team, the business commercial engine.
I call it the creative and the boring.
Yeah, basically.
Which is, I've said this a lot of times. We have a couple of rules that we work around. Love boring, man. Mm. Be boring, bro. You're either, if you're a creative, you need to be exceptional. If you're good and you're willing to do the boring stuff, you just need to be a 7-8 out of 10 worker.
100%.
I am a 7 to 8 out of 10 worker. My pure talent is not 10 out of 10. I met those talents. You have a Chip Fat, for example, the way he looks at a video and it just comes to him. That shit is 10 out of 10, right? You need to be that good. You're a great example. I'm 10 years older than you, which is crazy, right? And it's taken me this time to get to where I am. It's taken you the time that you have. You have raw talent where I have an insane commitment to what I do.
Like what JJ says, right, around not being the most talented, being the hardest working, which is, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. The one thing about your story which is incredible is that you left everything behind in Sweden to come and chase your dream and to do what you wanted to do because you believed in it and you believed in yourself enough to take probably the biggest risk that anyone could take. You didn't come from a family with huge amounts of money. Like you had to take a leap. And that, regardless of any factor in terms of, you know, your socioeconomic background, whatever it might be, that's a lot for anyone.
I still have this text of me arriving in London the night before. My mother and my father has to go to work the next morning, so I have sold my apartment, right? And I remember coming home with two black bags, and I'm just like, dunk. And I'm telling my dad, like, I need to fit all of this into one bag, so I want nothing with me. It needs to be such a clean slate when I get there that it's not even like clothes will remind me of my past.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're like deleting your life up until this point. I'm like, yes, but
that's,
I think I
point.
Need to. And like when I woke up that morning, we had said goodbye the day before, and it's this super emotional goodbye because I'm saying goodbye like we say goodbye after Christmas, like a Christmas dinner, and I'm about to go back to my uni accommodations or I'm going back to my apartment, whatever. But my mother is looking at me like she's saying goodbye, and in the sense of like, this will never be the same. I don't think you're coming back. I know you. You're not coming back.
What was that like?
It was so emotional in such a non-emotional way.
Like, this is the right thing to do. I'm doing this for me, and I know this is going to work out. But at the same time, as you say, you're deleting your life up to that point in a way. And you're going to have to always come back to that old hard drive rather than that being who you are today, which is a very different person, I'm sure, to the person that left.
I was young still at that point, right? I was 26, 27. You know, when you get to, I think it's Heathrow, there's either like the electronic passport check, I'm like, probably if you're moving countries, you probably go talk to a human. So I just walk up to this man and he's like, yeah, all right, what are you here for? I'm like, And I'm like, in my head, I'm saying, what am I going to say?
Holiday? Holiday?
No. I go, I'm starting a new life.
Did you actually?
Yeah. He's looking at me like, right, okay.
Stab, just get,
okay, get what? He's just looking at me like, what are you doing? Like, what do you do? You won't believe it. The luck. I'm working with Fortnite. And he looked at me like, I was like, is this a prank? And then, do you live somewhere? I'm like, of course not. I'm starting, that's not good. You need an address. And then I'm like, oh shit. So I like, I've not done my research here. And then I say, wait, I do. And then I remember, I've given this house I'm going to live in. And I just read out, I can tell it now because I don't live anymore. But Fellows Court. I'm going to Fellows Court. And he's looking at me like, I'm going to need more than that. There's a lot of those. And I'm like, right? It's Fellows Court London. In London. And he's like, that's what I meant. We're still in London. And I'm like, right. So I guess this is my new life. Yeah. And now it starts. So that was my journey into England. And it's been, I mean, that was 5 years ago.
If you were to sum it up, what is it like for you, to work with the Sidemen and to work in this machine every day? And also reflecting on your journey, where you've come from, what's it like to be here now?
Obviously, you have a massive pressure on you because you never want to disappoint the boys. And I have disappointed the boys many times, but I have, I think, impressed and done good things for them way more than I've done disappointing bits. And things will slip, things will go that way. That's how work works. So I think that it's just a constant pressure, but that pressure is also your fuel. They are very much the same. You can look at what Josh tweeted the day after Sidemen charity match. Cool. What's next? Mm. You know? That is his mentality. That is where he sits. Meanwhile, you have someone like Harry. He'll do a Sidemen Sunday. And it's like, let's do a fishing trip where we get drunk. Is that the brief? That's the brief. Okay, that's it.
What surprised you about working with them?
Well, I think the first meeting I had with them, like, I was supposed to pitch some form of CV. And they were just looking at me like, no. Like, we're checking your person. Like, we're seeing if you are the
You know, I remember being on that call and I just remember seeing, oh yeah, a laugh. Okay, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, no, that was my vibe as well. I think that's still what it is. A lot of the times it'd be like, they walk into a room, I'm there, and I hope that they think, God, not that dickhead. Like, I hope they don't think that. But I think that I bring a sort of presence in that room to them and they feel like I know what I'm doing. But the surprise is that they are so diligent and so firm in showing up and doing. Like, I thought it would be a bit more with talent. Many times it's like it's their world, they run the world, they show up when they feel like. They might pull up and be like, you're rappers, it's crazy, right? They'll they'll cancel on you 20 minutes before you're about to start shooting. I don't think I've ever had a cancellation unless it's like Josh is getting a birthmark removed, you know what I mean? Like, there's something
like
that's
Mitch
happening.
Food poisoning last night and he just
it's like
come.
I have tested positive for COVID my third time. It's like, okay, yeah, that's the only time they will pull out of something. That's the biggest surprise for me. And then I think as well that they are, any of the famous people that I've worked with or met, they are the most human celebrities in the world.
Yeah.
In a normal company where you're not selling entertainment, even in a normal company where you are selling entertainment, you can watch a TV show and you'll get one laugh out of it. But like, if you look at the amount of genuine laughter that happens between the boys, if you can't see that, feel that, understand that, you're never going to make it. I mean, we have so many great people on this team right now, and them coming out of the toughest period of their lives, probably with the Sidemen charity match, right? But I would go and have dinner with any single person on our team just to like hear them talk about whatever they want to talk about. If we are successful, I will claim this to be a team effort. If we are not successful, I will take responsibility. I get so much praise for the things that you do that my goodwill, my account, is so high. Meanwhile, you don't get any of it. So the moment you do wrong, you might be gone. If I could get on a call with the top 10 companies in the world right now, and I would tell them, here's the truth of the matter. Everything that happens from a creative standpoint for the Sidemen Entertainment brand, everything that happened at that charity match, everything that happens with any brand launch we have, anything that happens with any marketing endeavors we do, that is a team of 15 people. That the core of that endeavor is, that expands then into 35. You have more people probably working on your, it could be your HR team is probably bigger than that. You know what I mean? Like, if I could tell them that what we're doing is this size, and if you then put all the mistakes we have in this pile versus this, you'd be stupid to claim that it's not impressive, I think. And that is not me. That is that team. Same story for the Sidemen. The amount of output they have versus the mistakes that are made, ridiculous. Like they are operating on a different
level. And that's the thing a lot about values and mindset and creating again that sense of being part of something bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like the Sidemen is, I think, both for the audience, for the community, for casual viewers, for Side Plus members, but also for the team, for us, for the freelancers who work around it, for the editors, it's part of something bigger than them.
Yeah.
It's like the Sidemen represents something so big in the culture and represents many childhoods, many, you know, sad nights, many happy moments and memories. It means so much more than just the seven individuals, not to minimize them. But what they've built is, it's not, I don't want to call it a movement, but it's something bigger than that. It represents so much to so many people. And that's what you see at the ground on Saturday. What is your overriding feeling about the match coming out of it now? Was it a success?
Yes, the match is a success. But at the same time, what you look at when you dissect the game is like, oh, last year's game was a better game, but everything around this was better. So it's like, I think that the weather, unfortunate, but there were little details that like nagged me now. It's like, oh, why did that happen? But when I look at that, I saw that we all went in on Monday after Sidecast, because we shot a Sidecast 2 days after the charity match. And we gathered about 15 people and we watched the stream back and everyone's just sitting there like, fucking made that. Like that? Nah. Like that felt good.
The team delivered exceptionally on the expectation.
Yeah.
But you set your own standard, you make your own rod, right?
Yeah.
Last year was great, this year was even better. Operationally huge. But Vic said this, I think, after the match. He was like, you kind of become numb to this.
Yeah.
That you become numb to 60,000 people. It's like, you have to remember, you had 2.7 million people, 2.6 million people, seven across all the different platforms watching this game, like 70 million views in 24 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, it's hard to really feel that and
yeah.
to really take that in. And I think that's why it's almost detaching a little bit from that and just being like, look, like, I get like Josh's mindset onto the next.
You recognize exhaustion once it hits you. Mm. You can go on fumes for a long time. And when that final whistle happened, production room, I'm sitting in this white little van right in the parking lot. I haven't even seen the people inside. I've been in a production room and I've been in a production truck. That's my Sidemen charity match.
Hot production truck as well.
Yeah. But you hear like the voice of the director sitting up there and they're like, are we good to go offline? 10, 9. Okay, are we good to go offline? Platforms off. Doom, doom, doom. And then it says end stream. And I'm sitting there with the computer, right? Like, same story as Side Plus. I have one button. When I press that, it either works or it doesn't. And if it does, hallelujah. If it doesn't, I see Josh's name on my phone or Simon's name on my phone. We're not live. We're about to walk out on the pitch.
As they're in the tunnel.
Yeah. So, like, that moment there, when you press the end stream, it's the first feeling is not joy. The first feeling is... Thank you. Then you walk in to the production room. Everyone comes in. There's this solemn moment of silence almost where everyone goes. The next thought is, please, I want them to be so proud of this. I hope they had such a good time. This is one of those days. And Theo Baker said it on his post-match video that he went live with yesterday, the day before, I can't recall now. Walking out through that tunnel is something that pro football players and like maybe Olympic athletes, but the percentage of mankind that will have had the experience I just had walking out of that pitch is micro. It's the tiniest amount of people. And we gave them that. Mm. That makes me feel really proud. That's a success. And then if we now start talking Wembley next year, we start talking, that stuff doesn't really bother me. We can adapt, we can expand, we can grow. Mm. What I'm more like is like, I want a penalty shootout and I want speed to put the last ball in. Like that storyline starts now.
Right, let's play a game. Okay, so I have some cards. Look at the card. Tell me what the first thing that comes to your mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so it's two articles from which follows straight on to what we just spoke about. Sidemen charity match attendance higher than every Premier League round except two. The first thing that comes to mind is I see the school that I went to school at when I was six. And I'm sitting in this little barrack because it was not finished building. And we had like a lunch lady come around. And the first thing I think about, every time I get anything that looks crazy, I think of something that was the opposite of it. And I think about that little boy who sat in there, who's just getting his front teeth. Like, they were like jagged. And he was part of that.
Right, next.
So, the guy I mentioned prior, this is power.
There you go. He is a good looking man, to be fair.
He is a good looking man. This is me, Power, Jarl, Mert, and Kevin. Kevin worked on the production side at Fnatic. Mert is one of my best friends today. We were part of what's known as the Cave at Fnatic, which was like a deep creative space that existed within it. Not necessarily very HR friendly, but it was a fantastic place to grow creatively. The other two are my first two players, alongside my brother.
Very good. Next.
Oh my God. Okay. Loki. This is a tweet by me. 2019. Loki, they try to connect anything negative in the world to gamers. Antisocial, nerdy, wasting your life, disrespectful, lazy, violent. Times will change. This is not necessarily only about gamers, but it was anyone who is online native. It always is about, like, they sit and they play too much video games, they're nerdy, they're wasting lives away. JJ is this guy. Vic is this guy, and here they are now taking over the world. So it's just me telling the world, like, you can say what you want. They have funny haircuts. They dress funny. Maybe they weren't ready to get to the point where they're going to be celebrities yet, but they will take over the world. Time will change. And I think we're now in the middle of that journey towards that place.
Very good. Next.
It's a picture of my mom just after her cancer treatment. Big change for the family. And like my biggest supporter in anything. She doesn't know anything about YouTube, doesn't know anything about gaming, doesn't know anything about that stuff. But she has been like, she's good at one thing. We've spoken about this quite a lot, where I'm like, you ask a person what their skill is. For me, it's like, I'm good with people and I can push them. I can make them work. You have a creative mind that's ridiculous. My mother knows how to love. That's what she does. She says that. So she works She works with children in situations where they can't really integrate into school systems. She takes care of people who can't find their footing in the world. And that's who she is. And she's the kindest woman on the planet. And when she got her sarcoma in 2017, she went on this journey to fight cancer. And like, she has won. Like, she is now cancer free. She goes in on the check-ins. But it felt like such a unfair thing. And it's been a big thing in my life, has often been, I hate when there's like injustice to someone who clearly didn't deserve it. And my mother is the type of person, like, she wrote to me while I was in the production room, oh, we just saw you on the screen. You walked past the camera. And I'm like, yeah, mom, it's my event. But she will still be equally hyped up by it. And yeah, my mother is, she is the one who fights for that. Our family sticks together. We still have conversations. We now speak very often every week. And she's also my wake-up call. I have done some bad things to very good people in order to get where I am today. And I say bad things in the sense of I haven't listened. I haven't been a good listener. I haven't moved in the way you should move when you start working more. Taking into account that these people were the people who helped you. And I've burnt bridges. And I've tried to like repent for those decisions I made. And it's like being a good friend doesn't cost anything. And yes, getting further into your career, if losing your friendship is escalating the speed of which you reach your goal by 1 year, it's not worth it. You would have gotten there anyway. And that is a younger me getting hungry, feeling like in the middle of its journey. And my mother was the first one to literally go. And she did something completely crazy, probably to some people. But I had a rap group when I was 20. And we were the best of friends. And we recorded songs. And we traveled around Sweden playing as these shitty little bars and stuff. And I lost touch with them. The second year I came back to home from London, my second year in London, my birthday is the 25th of December. My mother knows I love Christmas, and she has made that a major thing for me. My every year, you're a Christmas baby. I have a tattoo that says "It's a Wonderful Life" right here because that's a Christmas movie that has meant so much to me. Whenever I need a happy place,
it's the best Christmas movie.
It's a banger of a Christmas movie. I'm sitting there at my birthday, and we have the family over, my cousins, whatever. There's not a single friend at my birthday because I have decided to go to England. I'm not taking care of my friendships, and I have other people I still haven't healed with in that capacity. I choose career with no work-life balance at that point. Now I finally found somewhere else where I now communicate very clearly with my friends, and they come over and stuff like that, right? But I didn't have any formal relationship with them. And my mother called these people, hounded them, and forced them to come to my birthday. So there's a knock on my door when I'm home for these 5 days for Christmas. And it's Jonas, which is one of the rappers from this group, rappers. And my mother has ambushed me with my friends and almost said, you say sorry to these people now because you're going to need them future. And that's like,
whoa.
I was so angry at her when it happened.
Yeah.
And I've thanked her ever since because of that happening. Now me and Jonas have a completely different...
Did you reconnect from that moment as well?
Completely. Marcus came over to me. We had a great 3 days in London not too long ago. Jonas is going to be coming over soon. Hopefully together we can do like a group thing as well. I've been back 3 times to just hang out with them in the studio again.
We need an album.
Listen, get back in the studio. But yeah, she has made the key decisions that have led me to be a better person. The way my father often has been the opposite of not necessarily a better person, but a better worker. He's taught me what it means to work. As I said before briefly, but it's like, I don't say this to my brother very often. Our relationship is quite strange now. But he is the only reason that I'm here.
Last one.
Laid down on my bed a second ago, looked up at the ceiling and thought about where I am in life right now. Compared it to a year ago and just smiled like an idiot for 3 minutes straight. Those of you who still struggle, especially young people, be patient. It pays off. This is before the Sidemen even. This is me coming out of 2019. So Fortnite has really established itself now and we're doing really well. I'm loving what I'm doing over at Fnatic. I made some good friends. And this is me also at the middle of like, work was great. My day-to-day was not great a year earlier. I had come out of a tough place. But that was me understanding the value of feeling good about what you do. That has suddenly settled in me, and that's what that is. Mm. But that was also, that could have been a follow-up tweet right under that that said, but at the same time, I'm sorry to the people that I didn't listen to and didn't support. I'll come to you in 2 years when I've matured and I'm ready.
Last yeah. thing. You can open this up. It's a little small thing.
What's a gift. There? Jesus Christ. Oh, my days. I just mentioned it.
You just mentioned it.
I mentioned before Sidemen Sundays being a safe and happy place, like a comfort zone. To me, that is Christmas. Which is super off-brand for me. Like, I tell people in the office, and they look at me, and they're like
what?
You. And I'm like, it's like 2nd of December, and I will suddenly have a coat and a red scarf on, and like a bouquet of flowers, and walk down the street like, happy holidays, how are you doing? Yeah. And like, go into stores, flower, like a florist, shaking hands.
You've seen It's a Wonderful Life a bit too much.
I've seen them too many times. And then it's like, nothing can bring me down at Christmas, and it's literally from the moment December 1st, until 25th of December is my favorite time of the year. This one means everything to me, and they'll see it now in the office as well when Christmas comes around. I love things like we do Christmas specials. Like, it gets me literally like, oh, we're going to have
I was
Christmas.
Wondering why that set was so well thought through.
It's yeah. Christmas to me is, that's my safe place. That's my harbor. That's where I like can really just be like, and I look forward to having kids and fooling them
and giving that back
at Christmas.
Yeah. Last question. What are your hopes for the future for you from a work perspective?
I have this one dream that is always going to be there, and that I'm going to have a log cabin at some point in my life, but that's not necessarily connected to my work. I'm sure you can get a log cabin by not working your ass off for 40 years. But my hopes are, with the Sidemen, if you look at them right now, is to make them feel like the legacy that they wanted, we put in enough work to make them feel they got there. That is what I want to do. I call it your 30s, you'll get there eventually. It's like your dreamless age. Your dreams that you have as a child, they're impossible. The dreams in your 20s is wanting to get a solid job. But in your 30s, there's no real dream. So it's like, maybe it is building a family. But building a family, I don't call it a dream. That's more like a goal. Unless you're unfortunate, you can't have children, right? But like, it's something that is very achievable. But the unachievable things, like when I was 22, I was like, I'm going to win an Oscar. That's a dream. Like, maybe there'll be a YouTube Awards one day. Maybe I can come collect something there.
Maybe.
But for the 30s, there is no such dream as that. So what I really get my energy and value from is watching someone like Anna and Jazz pull this off, right? That feeds me energy. Whenever we do a big production and it works out, that feeds me energy. But my hopes is that, I really hope that the Sidemen get to the points they want to be at and they suddenly feel happy and content. And they end up in a place where they can look back at this and feel like making that call, getting you, getting me, getting Aaron, getting Sam, making that decision that when they did it, that would feed me so much validation from a professional standpoint. So I just want to give them, I hope I've given them that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the mark of our success as a team is, are they still enjoying it?
Yeah.
Do they still actually come? Because there's a lot of stuff that we have to deal with that Yeah. It's not enjoyable.
Of course.
And that's our job. And it's the boring stuff that you talked about. But for them, are they still doing this in years to come with a smile on their face and not stressing out about the things that they shouldn't be stressing out about? And if they can enjoy it and we can see that, you know, they're having a good time still, then it shows that we're doing our job.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for them, they look at their body of work. They look at the staff that they have. They look at the event we just did. And I think they talk to their friends and they look at them and say, was it good? Like, or what we're doing, is it good? And I hope that people around them who knows them and understands the work they do, so other content creators can go and be like, bro, that was f-ing sick. That's what I hope that journey is. For me personally, I really hope that I can get some more time to go to maybe more. I went to a Welsh cottage not too long ago. Some more Welsh cottages, maybe. That'd be nice. And I feel we're getting to a point, as I said, work-life balance, friendship versus career. I feel like I found a new place to actually rest and feel comfortable. And I think that we've gotten to a point where you often speak about this. I noticed it now as I had to take a week away or a week and a half away from the team. Nothing falls apart, which is a testament to the team exists, the team works. And it's like if we were to dissect ourselves away from the Sidemen, I hope that they still feel like their operations would run smoothly. Yeah. And I think know we're not doing this for them alone. We're doing this for us as a unit. Not you and me, Sam and Aaron, but for us and our relationship to the Sidemen.
Exactly.
And that's what I think they respect as well, because that's what we put so much hour and blood, sweat and tears into it.
It's a good place to end.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so
much
for having me.
Absolute pleasure. We could have done this all day. Thank you very much for coming on, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was incredible. Everyone in the team, everyone who knows us, knows just how important he is to what we do and just how loved he is by every single person around this whole institution of the Sidemen and Arcade Media. And there's so much that I've gotten from that, and I'm sure many of you will do as well. So thank you so much for watching, listening, wherever you're consuming this show. Thank you. Please remember to subscribe, to like, and we'll see you again next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lowe's knows how to help you save. This July 4th, get up to 40% off select Maytag laundry appliances. Plus, get an additional 10% off when you buy two or three select major appliances. And when you buy four or more, you'll save an additional 20%. Find the right appliances and features that fit your home's unique needs and style. Shop Maytag 4th of July deals at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.